As if the pandemic wasn't enough, inflation is now having an impact on church budgets. So what should the body of Christ do about it? Hi, I'm Rob West. While inflation affects all churches, it's probably safe to say that it's having a bigger impact on smaller, poorer ones. But even larger churches may have to rethink programs and ministries. I'll talk about what can be done today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, if you Google church finances and inflation, you'll see ample evidence that the devalued dollar is having a significant impact not only on church giving, but even attendance. With gas prices so high, members in some low-income areas are faced with the decision of keeping enough fuel in their cars for work or driving to church on Sunday. That, in turn, affects giving, and it's especially hard on churches already suffering low attendance in the wake of the pandemic. An article by the Gospel Coalition puts into perspective the impact inflation is having, not just on church members, but also church staff. Using an example of a person taking a job in 2015 at a salary of $50,000, we can see the effect inflation is having today. That $50,000 salary is now really worth just over $42,000. That's a decline in purchasing power of nearly 16%. To keep pace with inflation, that individual would now need to earn almost $58,000. According to the latest government figures, inflation is running at about 8.5%, the highest in 40 years. That's based on consumer price index figures for the cost of around 200 items. But inflation doesn't affect all goods and services equally. Fuel, food, housing, and transportation, think cars with record high prices today, are all running higher than that 8.5% inflation rate. And all of this is putting the squeeze on church budgets. We can't stress enough how important it is for you to not make giving your last priority. We all need to continue honoring God with our first fruits, and that means we'll probably have to cut back in other areas of the household budget. Now, what can churches do to keep pace with inflation? Well, an article by Church Executive magazine lists a number of ways churches can cope. The first is not to panic and instead focus on the things that will have an impact. These include trimming the budget, possibly scaling back projects, and keeping more cash on hand. You can't control inflation, so concentrate on what you can control. Next, make a decision on wants versus needs. Remember that God promises only to provide for our needs, not our wants. Philippians 4:19 reads, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So, can you delay certain projects until the economic situation improves? The next suggestion is one that we should take with a huge grain of salt. In fact, we'd recommend it only if absolutely necessary, and that's borrowing more money. If funds are running dry for a construction project that's already underway and the building needs a roof to protect materials already in place, that might be a reason to borrow more. But if it's just to finish a project that could be delayed, we don't recommend it. Next, and still related to building projects, don't overpay for materials. It's tempting to shift resources from other areas of the budget to finish a project, or again, even to borrow more. The cost of materials was already starting to moderate some before inflation hit. If you can wait a few months before making a purchase, it could save you some money. The next way for churches to manage inflation is to communicate clearly with members. Whether it's related to the operating budget or a building project, let the members know how inflation is having an impact. If you made a commitment to delay or scrap a project, if a fundraising goal isn't met, honor that commitment. Next, take the long view of any planned church projects. You may look back someday on a project that was abandoned and realize it wasn't as necessary as you once thought. In fact, a lack of funding may be God's way of telling you to put your priorities somewhere else. And that leads us to the last and most important way to manage inflation in the church, and that's to invite God into every decision you make. He will reveal his will and lead you in the right direction. Of course, James 1:5 tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." And Proverbs 2:6 teaches, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So those are some ways churches can cope with inflation. We hope you find them useful and keep giving. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
The preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes asks some tough questions. What good is wealth if death is unavoidable? Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? Explore these questions and consider the devastating effects of foolishness this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal, daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. Lines are open at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Whether it's your spending plan and reining in your spending during these challenging times, or perhaps it's your long-term savings, your retirement savings. How much is enough? And how do you approach this volatile stock market? We'd love to hear from you. That or paying down debt or giving, whatever it might be. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. Hey, a celebration today with our MoneyWise app that you hear about often on this program. And it's only launched less than 2 years ago after several years of development by our team of in-house developers. We just crossed the 30,000 registered user mark. That's right. 30,000 of you have downloaded and activated your account in the MoneyWise app using the money management system to manage your spending, spending plan every day, connecting with our great content, podcasts, articles, and videos in our Learn tab, and plugging into the MoneyWise community where you're posting questions and getting responses from other stewards, as well as hearing from our MoneyWise coaches. It's all in the free MoneyWise app that you can download in your app store, and we'd love for you to do that today. When you head to your app store, whether that's the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. You can download it today and get started. Plus, we have a team of people that would be happy to help you set up your spending plan in the app. So if you get stuck, as simple as we've made it, you may have some questions. We have somebody that would be delighted to walk alongside you in that process. Now, more than ever, it's really critical that you're dialed into your spending plan, that you're having a plan to track and control the flow of money in and out every month, and we want to help with that, so download the MoneyWise app. All right, phone lines are open, 800-525-7000. Before we take our first call today, a quick email. This one came to us at questions@moneywise.org. It comes from Brenda, and she asks, is it better to take Social Security at full retirement age, which is either 66 or 67, or wait until age 70? So better to take it at full retirement age or wait until age 70? And the answer, Brenda, is the best time to take Social Security benefits really depends upon your circumstances. Two things in particular. One is, do you have your expenses covered by other means? Are you in a position where you could delay taking Social Security because you have other income sources you could rely on? That's number one. And then number two is, how is your health? If you're in good health and the Lord tarries and you could live a long time, you likely could be in a position to really benefit from delaying. And here's why. Every year you wait beyond full retirement age until age 70, your Social Security check is going to grow. Apart from cost of living adjustments that everybody gets, it's going to grow by 8% a year, and that 8% is locked in for the rest of your life. Now, you are giving up the benefit you would have received in those months starting at full retirement age, so you're going to have to make that up through the higher check amounts over time so that you're essentially repaid for what you gave up. And once you're repaid, then you enjoy that higher payout for the rest of your life, which for a lot of folks could be the difference between balancing the budget and not if you haven't saved enough to cover your retirement expenses. So it's worthwhile to consider. On average, it'll take about 11 years if you wait until full retirement age for you to make up what you've given up during those few years between full retirement age and age 70. And once you are repaid for that, then you enjoy that higher payout. So it's worth some planning and some consideration. If you want to know the difference in the check amounts, you can always schedule a visit with the Social Security Administration in person or virtually. You'll do that at ssa.gov. Brenda, thank you for your email. If you have an email, send it along to us. We'd love to hear from you. Questions@moneywise.org. All right, let's head to the phones today. 800-525-7000. We have some lines open. Gary in Texas, you're first on the program today. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. That couple of questions. I'm retired, medically retired, unable to work. I've been for over 20 years, just over 20 years. And I have some investment, but I'm looking at, I put a hold on it. I'm looking the future, electric vehicles, and I'm not sure, or their chargers, if the company makes the chargers, if when this market, it's crazy. So I'm not kind of, don't know what way to go at this point.
Yeah, you're just looking for is the the electric sector, whether that's automobiles or batteries, a prudent investment strategy, just given the prospects for growth in the future? Is that what you're trying to dial into?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah. And no question about it, Gary, electric vehicles, batteries are going to have a growing involvement in our economy moving forward. It is one of the seven themes that a lot of the investors who are forward thinking in terms of technological advances and where our economy is going. It's one of the seven big themes that folks will point to say it absolutely will be a growing area. We're seeing that in terms of manufacturing. manufacturing and in terms of batteries and battery construction. You know, there's a huge amount of growth in that space right now. And then just given the rise in electronic vehicles, you know, we're seeing what is potentially, you know, a large part of our economy moving forward just because of the commitment, not only in the existing auto manufacturers, but the new electric vehicle makers coming to the table. Like most stocks, they've had a tough year in 2022. The Fed's raising interest rates has hit growth stocks hardest, and that includes the EV market. But I would absolutely confirm with you that that's a theme that I would be interested in. Now, I would always say that, though, in light of a properly diversified investment strategy. So what I want to caution you against, though, Gary, is getting too highly concentrated in one particular company or even in one particular sector. Despite the bright future of the EV market, you don't want to have all of your eggs in one basket. Ecclesiastes 11:2 reminds us of that we should divide our portion into seven or even to eight. And the idea there is that when we own a broad cross-section of the market and we have a properly diversified portfolio, we're reducing our risk because we're not at the risk of one particular sector, which could go out of favor for a season, depending upon what's going on both politically and also economically. So although I would agree with you in terms of one of the big investing themes, I would always put that in the context of a properly diversified portfolio. Gary, hopefully that's helpful to you, my friend. We appreciate you checking in with us today, and God bless you. By the way, Gary, I would say that if you want to have an exposure to that particular area, probably best to invest in a mutual fund that contains them rather than individual stocks, depending upon how much you have to invest as you're thinking about your portfolio. Hey, before we go to a break, another quick email today, and then we'll take more of your calls just around the corner, 800-525-7000. Mike asks us, I'm near retirement, starting to consider hiring a financial advisor. Do I need a financial planner or a wealth manager or perhaps an investment counselor? And I would say, really, you need both, Mike. You need the planning side covered so you know that you're assets are enough to cover your budget. So you've got to have that plan. But then you want the investment advisor who's going to manage the portfolio. Often those are wrapped into one, but they may not be. So I would be looking for both of those areas to be covered. We'll be right back on Money Rise. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman. Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today. What's on your mind financially speaking? We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Our team is standing by, and we'll help you apply biblical wisdom and principles to the financial decisions and choices you're making today, help you move forward with confidence. Again, 800-525-7000. Lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. We started today by talking about the effect of inflation on church finances, citing a recent article by Church Executive Magazine, as well as a study by the Gospel Coalition, talking about the challenges that churches are facing post-pandemic and in light of inflation with rising costs, and also the impact that it's having on church members. You know, one of the keys to managing church finances, and I know many in our listening audience sit on their church finance committees, or they might be deacons or elders helping to manage on a lay basis their church finances, along with church pastors that might be listening as well. One of the keys to effectively managing church finances is a cash reserve. And we get questions from time to time from folks just asking how much is enough with regard to church cash reserves. Well, cash reserves are really important for a season like we're in right now. They ensure a cushion so that operating expenses can be paid on time instead of incurring late fees. So they're in compliance with mortgage covenants, and the financial institution doesn't foreclose on the property, which would, of course, be a disaster. Funds are available to replace worn out, you know, HVAC units, and making sure that, you know, capital replacement reserves are in place to cover the ongoing upkeep of the property and the facility. The church has the necessary funds to open a new site or launch a new ministry. And of course, Scripture really emphasizes the critical nature of reserves that I think really applies not only to individuals, stewards of God's money, but to churches as well. We could look at Proverbs 6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer, and it gathers its food at the harvest. And so really important to think about having church reserves and maintaining adequate reserves. Now, how do you go about thinking about the appropriate amount for a church? Well, you've got to consider several things. Number one, we've got to recognize how important it is to faithful administration of church resources. We want to, of course, build cash reserves in good financial times. We want to try to project the following year's revenue and organize our expenses as at perhaps 90% of the current year revenue, just to allow for some dip. Include cash reserves in as a line item in the budget, and be talking to the church members, the congregation, about the importance of cash reserves. As to the amount for cash reserves, I think it's really important to establish a philosophy or a policy for the church that really describes how the church wants to approach adequate reserves. Clearly, having no reserves, I think, is inadequate. Having more than 12 months of reserves in terms of 12 months expenses is generally considered excessive. So the question is, where is that sweet spot for your church? And how much is the appropriate amount? What's the cap? What's the floor? And how much should you be considering as you think about that? And I think working through that process as a lay leadership team, along with the pastor, pastor and the leadership of the church is really essential, so that that cash reserve is there. It can be tapped in difficult times or when needed for special projects, but it's not excessive, meaning, folks are giving to the work of the church so that the ministry of the church can go forward. And when we get beyond 12 months of reserves, often we're getting to a place where the work of the church is being held back by building cash reserves. And I think this also applies to investing church's resources. I would say stay away from that. We really shouldn't be, in my view, taking risk with the resources given to the church. We should be holding them in cash and cash equivalents up to 12 months of reserves. And beyond that, it should be used for the work of the church and the ministry of the church. So think about that and perhaps look at a great resource that ECFA has produced, the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability at ECFA.org. They have a great article called Church Cash Reserves, How Much is Enough? By Dan Busby and Michael Martin. And that could be a great resource as your church considers the appropriate amount of cash reserves. You'll find that there, along with an ebook that they've produced called 9 Essentials of Church Cash Reserves. So check that out when you visit ECFA.org. All right, your phone lines are open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. We're getting a lot of questions from folks wanting to invest in real estate these days. We know what's been happening in the real estate market, and a lot of folks wanting to know if there's an easy way to do that. One approach, obviously, is to own the actual physical real estate, but it does require that we build up quite a bit, because I would recommend, if you're going to own an investment property, perhaps a rental property, that you would think about 50% debt to equity. I would love for you to go into it with 50% equity up front, as opposed to your own personal residence, which I would say a minimum of 20% equity as a down payment on the front end. The reason for more? Well, with an investment property, we have the ability for a tenant to go away. We could get into difficult economic times, which makes it harder for you to cover your debt service. And keeping that mortgage as low as possible is going to be a real help as you think about cash flowing that particular property. But another way to invest in real estate that a lot of folks perhaps don't think about is a more passive approach, and that's through a real estate investment trust. If you don't feel like being a landlord, you can buy shares in a REIT. They work by allowing companies to buy real estate or mortgages using the combined assets of the investors, and that's how you, as perhaps a smaller investor, can take advantage of owning real estate. Think of it as a mutual fund, but for owning real estate instead of stocks. Now, they're not for everybody, but you will for sure not get that late night call about leaky plumbing. So perhaps talk to your advisor or consider that as a part of your overall diversified investment strategy. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with much more on MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Absolutely free.
We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, whether it's your lifestyle, your debt repayment, your long-term savings, or your giving plan. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. That's 800-525-7000. An email that came in from Terry at questions@moneywise.org. Terry asks, is the tithe still for today? And it's a question we hear often here on the program from folks really good-hearted, wanting to honor the Lord with their resources, just wanting to understand the framework for how they should think about their giving. You know, our giving should be a central part of our financial stewardship. God's the owner. We're the money manager for the King of Kings. We should be taking his resources, and yes, we should be providing, and yes, we should be enjoying, and yes, we should be living with contentment, but we should also be holding it loosely and being a pipeline back into God's activity. It's one of the great privileges that we have as a manager of God's resources, and that is to give to the work of the Lord. Keep in mind, we were created in the image of God, and he's the ultimate giver, right? He gave us his son that we might be reconciled to him through Jesus' shed blood on the cross. Before the first dollar, he's given us so much. We have an abundance. So I like to say when we give, well, we're most like him, and it calibrates our hearts to his. Here's the other thing that happens, though. When we give, it actually breaks the grip of money over our lives. You know, money has an ability to really have a stronghold on us if we allow it to, especially when we get caught in the trappings of material possessions and keeping up with the Joneses and trying to, stay in tune with the comparison trap. When we do that, money can grab a hold of our hearts and actually compete with the Lord for first position in our lives. The Bible is very clear about that. We have to choose, will we serve God or money? And when Jesus was talking, that we read in Mark 4 to the disciples about the word being choked out and not bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return, we saw that that was as a result of, as he explained to the disciples, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, which is often possessions and the things that money can buy. Well, if that's true, giving has a way of really breaking that grip of money over our lives. But how should we think about our giving? Where does the tithe fit? Well, I love the principle of the tithe. Yes, it's an Old Testament concept. We see it referenced in the New Testament, but clearly an Old Testament concept. The tithe means 10%. The word literally means a tenth. And interestingly, there were actually three tithes in the Old Testament, one for the Levites, one for the temple, and one for the poor, which happened every 3 years. If you add up the quote-unquote tithe in the Old Testament, it was actually 23 1/3% every single year. And that was just the beginning, because after giving 23 1/3% of their income, the people would make offerings of their first fruits at the beginning of the harvest. They would take an offering for the Feast of Weeks in proportion to the size of their harvest. They would then follow that with another offering at the Feast of Booths. Even after all of these offerings, there could still be further offerings that were special in nature and reflecting God's provision and blessing in the lives of of his people. So Old Testament giving laws went far beyond 10%. And here's what's interesting. You know, when Jesus entered the scene, he took giving to an even higher level. And that's why my friend Randy Alcorn calls the tithe the training wheels of giving. You see, when Jesus talked about money, he taught that we should give as we've been blessed in Luke 6:38. He said, to whom much is given, much is required in Luke 12:48. He commanded the poor widow commended the poor widow who gave her last two copper coins. She gave out of her poverty. And of course, he challenged the rich young ruler to give away all of his wealth. So with that, I think we can safely say that Jesus raised the bar. And as believers, as God's people who have the ability to have seen what happened on the cross, to understand what sacrifice Jesus has given for us, why would we not do even more? The question is, are we in a position to do that? Have we ordered our finances in such a way that we actually have the ability to give as the Lord leads and as the Holy Spirit directs? Well, oftentimes we're in a position where we can't because of our lifestyle choices, because of the debt that we've accumulated. We just simply don't find ourselves in a position where we can give as the Lord leads. Well, what should we do about that? How do we go about that? Well, I think it's really key that we start with our spending plan, that we go back to our lifestyle spending and say, perhaps I need to dial that back. I need to free up some margin so I can get out of debt, so then I have the ability to give even more. Yes, I want to give systematically, and I think that's where the tithe comes in. The principle of the tithe can be applied right up front as we give systematically to God's work. But then beyond that, we want to give sacrificially. We want to be thinking about increasing our giving over time. Now, maybe that's increasing it 1% a year. So we start with maybe it's 10%, and then we move up from there every year. Or maybe it's giving out of assets. What if we think about giving 1% of our net worth? We talk about the American Family Association's foundation and the opportunity to give there out of your estate plan. Well, that's an example of how we'd give out of our balance sheet. And that should be something that we're thinking about as well as we consider God's resources. Here's the key, though. We're never going to give to our maximum ability unless we have a plan. That's number one. We've got to build it into our plan, both our monthly spending plan as well as our longer-term plan that allows us to free up more resources over time so we can give as the Lord leads. We're never going to give to the maximum unless we have relationships that are challenging us, encouraging and spurring on our giving. Who in your life is challenging you in the area of generosity? So it's about a plan. It's about relationships. It's also about having the ability to have vision for your giving. You know, you're never going to outgive your vision. So what is your vision for your giving? Where do you want it to go? Have you and your spouse, if you're married, prayed about that and thought about your values and priorities and how your giving fits into that plan? So as you think about your relationships and your vision, and you think about the plan that you have, I would just simply ask, does the Lord have more for you in this area? And if he does, what are you going to do about it? I would make it a matter of prayer and consider what it looks like for you to move your giving up. And here's my experience, that when you do that, you will begin to experience the joy that comes from giving. It's not about what God wants from us. It's really what he wants for us. You see, he's always been about our hearts. And money, the way we handle it, is really the training ground of the heart. And so when we hold it loosely and begin to give generously, we begin to experience the joy that follows of being connected to God's activity. And when you do that, you won't look back. I can promise you that. You'll find the joy that comes from it. And here's what will happen. You'll start to think about, what can I do to reorder my finances so I can do even more? And as you begin to experience that, I know that you'll get the joy of giving that we see described in God's Word and that all of us experience, because that's really how God wired us. He wired us for impact, to be able to see lives changed. And we can do that in part with the financial resources that He's entrusted to us. So perhaps today, think, pray about what God has for you in this area, and let's see what He does, and then tell us about it. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, when we come back from this break, your phone calls today, 800-525-7000. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Bishop E.W. Jackson is on a mission.
Some people are just embarrassed to be Americans. That's a big problem. I mean, I've heard people say that. They're embarrassed to be Americans. I'm not embarrassed to be American. I love my country. I'm thankful to God that I'm an American. I'm thankful to God to live in this land of freedom and opportunity and hope. And I'm fighting to make sure that that never changes.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson, every weekday at noon Central on AFR, or catch the podcast at AFR.net.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. We've got some lines open. Our team is waiting for your call, 800-525-7000, whatever's on your mind today. We'd love to help you apply God's principles and wisdom to the decisions and choices you're making as you manage His money. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. An email that came in from Bob says, what exactly is an emergency fund for? Well, let's talk about that. You know, as we think about handling God's money, it comes down to living, giving, owing, and growing. That's right. Those four things really capture what it is we spend our money on. We have lifestyle spending. We have our giving. We have our owing for debt and for taxes. And then we have our growing. That's the amount that we're saving for the future. And that could be on a short-term basis, which is what I would put the emergency fund in. And for the long term, which entails our retirement savings, our saving for that season where we would no longer be working for pay. Well, the emergency fund is really that first savings goal. And I would say if you have credit credit card debt. Let's save $1,500 in that emergency fund just to give you something to fall back on when the unexpected comes, and it will. But let's stop there and let's get that high interest credit card debt paid off, because that's going to be a guaranteed return equal to the interest rate that you're paying on those credit cards. So we want to get those knocked out as quickly as we can. So first stop, $1,500 until credit card debt is paid off. Once it's eliminated, then we want to get up to 3 to 6 months expenses. Now, there's three main categories of things your emergency fund is for. First is housing, second is food, third is transportation. But the needs should be unexpected, absolutely necessary and urgent. So that would be things like living expenses if you lose your job or have a severe pay cut, emergency home repairs, unplanned medical expenses. It's not for things like birthday and Christmas gifts, auto registration, insurance premiums, taxes, and back to school shopping. Those are things we should be planning for and expecting. Those are not unexpected expenses. Also, you wouldn't use your emergency fund for auto maintenance, minor home repairs, medical copays, and clothing. So again, you know those bills will eventually come due. So let's plan for them in your budget, even if that means planning for a non-recurring expense. Take Christmas, for example. If we know what we're going to spend on Christmas, let's plan for it all year and put 1/12 of that in the budget. Have it go into a savings account, whether that's electronically through the MoneyWise app or in a physical savings account with a free online bank with no fees. Let's earmark that money in your budget. But the emergency fund is going to come in for those truly unexpected expenses that you could not have seen coming, but we know they will come. Again, the goal during your working years, 3 to 6 months expenses. Now, this is a season during these challenging inflationary times where if you were living paycheck to paycheck and the extra average $500 a month that the average American family is now spending on increased costs, if that's really thrown your budget into a tailspin, this may be a season where you tap that emergency fund for a portion of that. If you have those 3 to 6 months expenses and you're just taking this amount that's the added expense, well, you shouldn't deplete it anytime soon, and hopefully it will last until we see a reprieve in costs. And most economists are thinking that this current inflationary environment we're in, with the June reading at 9.1% year over year, which is just through the roof, is going to begin to taper off. That was likely the peak. We will begin to see probably a slow decline over the balance of this year and hopefully get closer to our target of 2%, probably 4%. We probably won't get down to 2%. But nevertheless, it will probably begin to tail off over the balance of this year and next, which gives you an opportunity as you think about using that emergency fund to be able to weather that storm until such time as we begin to see that abate. And then hopefully you'd have some margin return to your financial life, which would allow you at that point to be able to rebuild that fund. And that's really the key, is the ability to replenish that fund as soon as you're able so that you can get back up to that 3 to 6 months expenses. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Bob, as you think about your emergency fund and the opportunity to have those reserves in place. All right, let's talk about goal setting. You know, we often talk about goal setting when it comes to financial advice and money management. And, you know, as believers, I like to think in terms of our faith goals. Those would be the goals that allow you to think about your values and priorities and how you can plan for the future. I want to give you a process for faith goals as you think about really the 5 steps of goal setting. But before we do that, let's head to the phones. Linda's been waiting patiently in North Carolina. So Linda, we'll let you go next on the program. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm going to try to make this as concise as possible. I am in income-based housing. I am actually going through a divorce. Decided to do that after 5 years of being separated from my husband. He's not trying to reconcile. So we sold our house in December and split the money after paying some bills and things like that, and paying my car off. I have about $9,000 to kind of do things with right now with the retirement that I received, which is not the full from 29 years. He was 29 years in the military, so he kind of does an allotment. It covers my bills right now because I'm in income-based housing after we sold. I have inherited two grandsons, so I'm going to make this really short. I have enough to cover my bills and things like that, and I am going back to work. I only stopped working because it was so much happening and so much going on, but I will be going back like in the next month. So I have about, I said I'll put about $3,000 to $5,000 in emergency fund, and then I'm wondering what I should do as far as just first-time investing with some that I do have to actually use.
Okay.
And I was
Yeah, I appreciate that explanation. So you said you have $9,000 available, but you're going to put $3,000 to $5,000 of it away for emergencies. Did I understand that correct?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that would leave you with about $4,000 more. Now, your bills are covered through the retirement allocation from your husband's military retirement. But when you go back to work, is that all going to be surplus?
Yes, it will be surplus.
Okay. And do you know what you'll be bringing home every month, your after tax and benefits pay?
I'm not sure. I would say it's not going to be a whole lot. I would say probably around $1,500 a month.
Okay. And do you know if you're going to have access to a company-sponsored retirement plan?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I think that's really the first step here. So if I understand correct, you're completely out of debt. You're living in the income-based housing, and you will have this emergency fund shored up. What do you think your total monthly expenses will be?
Probably about $2,000. I'm not completely out of debt, but I am mostly out. Right now, I am paying off two cards where I do about, I go over what I actually have to pay. So I do what's required and maybe half of what's required for those. And I'm hoping to have those paid off like in the next year or two, next year and a half.
I would actually hang on to that $9,000. I probably wouldn't be investing that because at $2,000 a month, at 6 months expenses would be $12,000 and we're talking only nine. So you're talking, you know, really 3 to 5 months expenses, you know, by hanging on to that $9,000. So I would probably do that just so you can avoid going back into debt at any point. So you've got a good solid emergency fund that you can rely on. And with regard to your investing, I'd try to do that on a tax-deferred basis through a company-sponsored plan. So I think your next step is really to dial into your budget so you control your spending, because the key will be if you can free up this $1,500 to $2,000 a month, I would start putting that into a fund for a down payment on a house. So when you're ready to move out on your own, you've got that down payment built up, because the goal is going to be, you know, to have 20% as a down payment. And that's going to take a while for you to build up to that. So I'd probably hold this $9,000 as your emergency fund. I'd take your $1,500 to $2,000, start a down payment fund for your house. And then if you get the ability to start to contribute to a retirement plan at work, I would do your retirement investing through that plan on a tax-deferred basis. Does that make sense?
It does. So I really do need to be looking at buying a house again.
You know, you don't have to, but I want you to have the ability to do it down the road if you want to. And, you know, having that savings is really going to be key to being able to do that. So I think that's really your best next step. If you decided not to, you could always contribute that money to an IRA, but I'd rather you look at the retirement plan at work if it's available, because you'll probably get some matching there from them as well. So let's uncover that first, hang on to the $9,000, and then let's start building up your down payment fund. Linda, all the best to you. I know it's a difficult season. We'll ask the Lord to be near to you as you make these decisions. God bless you. Real quick, folks, as you think about your goal setting, here's the steps. Number one, write your goals in sand, not in concrete. So spend time with the Lord and ask Him, what would you have me to do, Lord? Record your impressions. Write down, I believe God would have me to what? And really think through that. Make the goal measurable, prioritize your goal in terms of your values and priorities, and then take action. You know, as we think about our goals, we want to certainly bathe them in prayer. We want to stay flexible. But when we do, then let's take action and begin to make proper steps toward seeing them become a reality. Hey, thanks for being along with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Thank you to Pat Montague handling our phones today, Devin Patrick producing today, Mr. Jim Henry assisting me with research. So delighted you're along with us each day as we mine the scriptures and apply God's truth to your financial decisions. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.